I can do for you? And would you like me to stay? But I'm having to.
Yes, the recording has been resumed.
Okay. So we'll call this meeting to order. We are meeting here for the first time in person. The committee here in Abu Dhabi, and I'll let Mario start with the roll call, please.
Thank you, Duane. Welcome everyone to the historic private meeting on 29th October 9th, 2017. 9 o'clock in the morning, U2C plus four. On the participant, we have Dwayne Wessel, Kim Davis, Peter Cook, and Bradford. We have no apologies in this meeting, and on the staff side, we have Steve Shang and myself, Maria Alleman.
And Glenn is off.
With this, over to you, Dwayne.
Okay. All right. So for this meeting, you've probably all seen the agenda. The first thing we'll do is review the action items from our previous meeting. We will not approve the minutes because I don't believe you've seen the minutes yet. And I just want to talk a little bit about the minutes during the next step. So for now, Mario, let's just go through the action items from the previous meeting.
Thank you, Duane. On the action items, we have number one, staff to publish the minutes, transcripts, and audio recordings from 25th September 2017 teleconference. Number two, Duane, to identify the topics where there was disagreement to discuss more in a future meeting. Number three, staff to work with Duane on putting together the RCERC slide deck for the public presentation during 1960. And number four, staff to post on the RCERC website the announcement of the public meeting in Abu Dhabi during 1960. All these action items have been resolved?
Yeah, all these actions, these are done?
We can move forward.
Okay. So as I said, we don't have the minutes from our previous meeting to review yet because it's been just a short time since that meeting. So I'll move on to the next agenda item, and I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, or sort of following up with our discussion last time about the topic discussion. But the first thing I want to do here is sort of get agreement from everyone that this is something that we want to sort of keep in as an executive session, I believe. Right, so yes. I think at this point, I'll ask Mario to pause the recording, and then we'll be able to discuss these topics in an executive. Okay, so we're back to recording for the RCERC meeting here, and we're moving on to agenda item number five, which is preparation for the public meeting, which is on Wednesday. And right before the meeting here, Mario sent out an email with some draft PowerPoint slides. If you could bring those up, we'll sort of go through those real quick. I guess it was a PDF file, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can also display it if
you want to display it on, yeah, let's display it in Adobe Connect. Okay. So do we have an hour and a half? How much time do we have for our public meeting? An hour and a half?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the plan is we'll sort of go through these slides, and then we'll take questions from the audience, assuming there's an audience. Assuming people show up and want to ask questions.
You have a room full.
Okay.
Standing room.
When I scroll, do you guys see them changing? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is pretty straightforward slide deck. Here's a summary slide. this was all done by Mario, by the way, in preparation. The overview slide, you know, has some text from the introduction of the charter, pretty straightforward. You can just sort of, you know, read this to people if they don't already know what ARZERC is. The next slide shows the membership, and I think you may have seen there's a minor correction that Jim and Carlos are sort of swapped here, but other than that, as far as I can tell, it's correct. I think everyone's names are spelled correctly now. We'll say...
Question?
Yeah.
Jim sent an email about swapping himself from the membership list because he was from IETF.
Yeah, so on that slide, it says IETF is Carlos. And ASO is Jim. We just need to swap those.
Yeah, he said Mario, but he meant Carlos.
Oh, yeah, he meant Carlos. Yeah. We'll spend a slide explaining the types of meetings that we have, regular meetings and public meetings, and describe our transparency, that everything's recorded, the archive is open. I don't believe that we actually have the link to the mailing list archive on the ARZERC website at this time, right? I went and looked for it and I didn't see it.
Okay.
But anyway, that's something that we can work on later.
It's open for sure.
I know it's open, but I just don't know if it's easy to find. About, you know, what ARZERC's procedures say about consideration of proposals. Of course, note that this has not been exercised yet. And the next slide is current status. I want everyone in particular to look at the second bullet here to make sure that it, you know, accurately captures sort of what we're going through right now, which is currently conducting a hypothetical evaluation of potential topics and scenarios. Does that make it clear that that we're not actually considering, you know, actual scenarios or actual proposals at this time, right?
It does, but it doesn't say to what end we're doing the evaluation. Do we want to say something to the effect of to produce guidance on items that will be in scope of future evaluation?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think a purpose is helpful to state in advance instead of waiting for people to ask for it.
Did you capture that?
But it's not only, it's also guidance for us, like it doesn't it serve also like a committee internal?
Sure.
Yeah.
I consider it a reality check sort of on yeah. where everyone's head's at, where we're thinking. The last slide is contact information. So, and one of the things we talked about in our previous meeting is to mention some specific topics from our things that we're considering. And so I think we could insert some slides here, and I've got some suggestions for some of the specific topics that we can include. Russ, go ahead.
Thanks. Could you scroll back up to where further in the beginning, do we have some specifics about our charter that says, you know, besides, let's just see, I want to see what we're saying we are, which is, you know, the extract from the charter, because what I was thinking is that if we have the overview here, it might, I don't know if we want to include the picture that Brad just provided to us before or around when we're looking at what we're doing right now, identifying possibilities. And I don't think we want to get hugely specific, but it would be nice if we could be a little more specific, I think, about what we're doing it. And
about what sort of things ARZERC may be asked to consider.
Yeah. And because the overview doesn't, I don't think, make it, well, it's not what I would call abundantly clear.
Right.
You know, if you read the words very carefully, they are in there, that, you know, the distribution of the root zone. But people won't really see that or catch it. And at least in my mind, it makes good sense if we can sort of gently feed this to the community that you know, we're looking at the distribution or the, you know, the provisioning side of things.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see your point, because we don't want to leave people the impression that it's overly broad or overly narrow or whatever. We want to give them the right sense. And I think the diagram does a very good job of that. My one hesitation would be that, you know, we've only sort of talked about that diagram today.
And not
everyone's here. But to me, it's a really great graphic and pretty non-controversial, I think. Brad, do you remember, was that graphic included in any of the formal response from RSEC too?
Not formal response. It's directly stolen from the tutorials.
Oh, it's in the tutorials.
RSEC does the tutorials, which are happening today and tomorrow, actually. Office of the CTO sponsors How It Works programs, and one of them is How the Root Works. That slide is in the tutorials.
Oh, maybe even get a couple of slides from
it. Has been since the inception of RZR, because we thought it important to draw where we saw the roles.
Okay. So, Mario, can we make sure we add that graphic?
RZR was not around to consult on to see if you agreed or not.
Right.
So,
okay, that's a good suggestion. Thanks. So, Jim, catch you up a little bit. We're going through the draft slides for the public presentation.
Okay.
You should have them in your email.
I have.
Yep. Okay. And we're also sort of watching them on Adobe Connect here.
Okay. I'm just wondering if we were actually going to discuss anything about that survey that we had done in the public meeting, or is that just something?
We're just sort of getting to that,
okay.
Actually. Yeah. So, in the draft slides here, the slide number 8, which is titled Current Status, makes a mention of that evaluation of potential topics, and we're amending that to explain why we are doing this exercise. And then also I'm suggesting that we add before slides in here, or at least include 4 specific topics that we have considered from our list. One of them is the location of root servers, which everyone agrees is out of scope. I tried to pick ones that are sort of, you know, non-controversial and people already are sort of aware of, right? Number 2 would be changes to RSEC 002 metrics, which was mostly out of scope in the survey. The one that's really mixed was adding more TLDs to the root zone. That's one where we did not have agreement. I think that's probably a okay one to include in this, because that's obviously a topic on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
And the last one was the root server naming scheme, considering alternate naming schemes for root servers, which is, again, according to the survey, mostly in scope.
But if I may, I think that's a perfect example going to the concern that was raised earlier about the whole system. Right, so that discussion has started in RSAC. We've done, you know, a document stating that it needs to be more work, but the intention is from that this ultimately would come to RSAC before anything was implemented. Like that has been the discussion in RSAC.
Mm-hmm.
So we would make a recommendation to the board, and that would include this needs to go to RSAC. So I think that's a good example.
So do those examples sound okay to everyone that we can mention in the
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should I go through them again? Or
No, that's okay. I was just wondering. So we've at least I have used the example of the introduction of DNSSEC as something that would have been RSEC's.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an easy one. I think that's a good one.
That is easy one. That is in the past, and
everybody gets it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can include that too.
Yeah.
So we want to add a slide to the presentation.
Yeah, I kind of work with Mario to figure out whether it's
one flight or N flights or whatever.
So this also makes the point that this was done by the end, or it was oversawed, overseen actually.
Yeah, do we want to make that point stronger in this deck that RZERC is filling the role of NTIA oversight? Or
wouldn't be that
No. That's
okay.
I think it's
better not.
Okay. So I've got it.
I would not be surprised if people asked that question, and I think, you know, it's perfectly fine to respond if somebody asks, but it would almost be baiting the audience.
Yeah. I think it was possibly worth stressing as well that we're having nothing to do with regular routine updates to a TLD, for example, a change of a TLD's NS record set.
Right. Yeah.
Just make that very, very clear in case anyone's getting any doubt about it.
Okay.
So we just listed like 7 slides now, so are we... Like maybe we don't need that.
I've got 5. I've got 5 topics.
Added DNSSEC.
Yeah.
We added the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying that you don't want to.
Well, so this, I mean, Jim's suggestion is different than what I was on. I was covering sort of things that we, specific things from our survey that we did.
Oh. So okay.
So. But Jim suggested it's good, it's just
in
a different,
in terms of the overall chapter, what this group's all about,
yeah.
Some people may have the perception, you know, RZERC is taking over from what NTIA used to do, and NTID did authorize or have some kind of oversight over those changes to an existing TLD's delegation. RZERC does not do that.
Right.
Yeah.
It was before you came in.
So
before Conway made it, I raised the point earlier that by the charters and how things have been divided,
mm-hmm.
that at this point there's not a group that feeds, that is responsible for that full broad picture that the NTIA used to take.
Yep.
And ask the folks here, and, you know, just to keep that in mind, think about it if it's a problem, you know, not trying to focus or change anything, but I think you make a very good point.
Thanks.
In terms of when there was a change in an actual TLD delegation,
yeah.
That was something that NTIA very much got
yeah.
in the middle of.
And that's probably the kind of thing that NTIA is, that's probably the thing.
I don't think that's fair, but whatever.
Yeah. I think, well,
if it was undisputed, then, you know, but anytime there was,
they were there to make sure processes were followed, not to.
Yeah, but
it was undisputed. There was never a disputed change to the rule.
No. But the fact is, they were involved in those delegation changes. NTIA had a role to play in that, and for most people, that was probably what they think NTIA's real role in this whole route server system was. So we have to make it clear that although that NTIA responsibility has gone away because NTIA is no longer involved in things.
Sure.
The responsibility about those TLD delegation changes has not come to RZERC as a result of that change. That, I think, is an important point to get across.
I think the way I'd frame it is that as part of the stewardship transition, the community recognized there was a need to oversee big changes to how the routes are
evolved.
And RZERC was created as a result. I think.
I hope someone's with you making a note of that.
I think you can point to NTIA as being the genesis of the stewardship transition, but yeah. I wouldn't focus too much on what exactly NTIA did or did not do in the past, because you might have their own view on that, but not comprehensive.
We agree.
Okay. So I also don't think we should overemphasize what we're not doing, right? So.
Okay. So look for an update from Mario or myself in the next couple of days that you can review before Wednesday, because we'll get this right for our first public meeting. So please review it if you see it.
You will need to submit the slide at least 24 hours before the test.
Okay.
So
does that mean no changes after 20?
No changes.
Okay.
That will be posted.
Okay.
That's the rule.
Harsh mistress. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes
it's a rule. It's not the law.
Okay.
Sometimes people just bring
a USB drive.
Have you suggested
you
try
to do that?
Process cannot. Process can be ignored.
All right. So can you go back to the agenda slide? So we're done with, I'm gonna declare we're done with topic number five, the presentation with the public meeting. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about, follow up with the discussion that Peter and Jim had on the mailing list. And Peter, or I'm sorry, Jim, I believe you said something like, so Peter suggested numbering documents, and Jim, you said something like, if we get to that point, we're doing something wrong. And I just wanted to point out that the charter does say that we will number our work documents. So
yeah, but I think it was more to the point of view, if we're going to have a situation where we're having very frequent changes to documents that we produce, you know, progressing version 4, version 5, version 6, version 7, that suggests we're probably doing something wrong.
Okay.
So if we get to that point, we should make a mental note to think a little bit about what's going on.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Now, I've got no objection whatsoever to doing any kind of logically simple scheme for numbering of documents. That's a no-brainer.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, if we end up having huge frequency of rapid changes to these documents, lots of versions of them, we're probably doing something wrong. That was the first
my point. All right. And then, Peter, you had a specific request to archive the chair selection document, right?
Yes.
Which is it there already, or not there already?
Want to take it out?
No, Peter's suggesting to keep it.
Well, the question is how we deal with this, since we don't have numbers yet and we don't have a status attached to them, but since we copied most of the text and then made some careful adjustments that we discussed, I guess that would be like time window for voting or something, we now have two documents on the list, and the outside reader could not know which one is which because we don't have numbering, we don't have obsolescence marks and anything in there. So we should keep it somewhere. It should be available for like historic purposes. I don't know, but we should make clear that this is the current document.
Okay.
Maybe we can just split this the list. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. Just wanted to make sure.
So your point is that it's confusing to someone going there the first time. They wouldn't know which one is sort of in force.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Can we just simply remove those two and then keep it for internal? Then if we need it, then we can...
Steve, what do you mean by remove? I mean, I would like retain the links, but maybe under a different section.
Which one are you talking about?
Sorry.
Chair duty and election procedure?
No, the... get to the website, sorry.
Yeah. Seems like we should add numbers, and then if they're obsolete, we should say obsolete.
Yeah, so we say latest updates, and no, document archive and links. So we have the final charter. We can argue whether that is an archived document or not, because we don't have power to change it, but that's a different discussion. We have chair duty and selection procedure, which is...
This one is obsolete.
Which is obsolete, and then we have the operational procedure, which actually obsoletes or supersedes the previous one, and we don't have any information about this.
So would it?
I don't mind which way we do this. But.
All right. So it would, you know, satisfy your requirement if we just marked it as obsolete on that list, or would you rather have like two sections?
Well, we can obsolete, and in the document we say, please go to this section of the operational procedure.
I would rather not touch old documents and reopen them.
Grant, go ahead. Sorry.
May I suggest or motion, whatever the right formal thing is, I don't know how formal we are here, but that we label the duty and selection procedures obsoleted right here on the thing, and maybe put it on the top of the document, or just across like a watermark on the document. I don't know how we obsolete them, but obsolete it and then add a number to the procedures document and start numbering documents.
Okay.
So the procedure will be 000.
And then the version from now on?
That's up to the group.
That's what we do in our site.
Yeah.
No problem.
think ICANN has common procedures in other committees.
Yeah.
You get too much from
it. So we have to pick one. My suggestion is RSAC.
Having dealt with the ESSAC approach and what the IETF has done over time and the RSAC approach, at first I was not real keen about our current RSAC approach. However, I think it's now, in reflection, the best of the set. So I would agree with Kaveh that the structure like we, in fact, I think, wasn't it you that designed the RSAC numbering? But yeah. We use the same thing here.
Okay.
That we
so documents have a number and a version.
A document number and a version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the date changes, if I remember correctly, on a new version.
Right.
So if the base number remains the same.
Right.
When a version changes, then that increments and the date of that version changes.
Okay.
Yes. So for this particular thing, we could actually say that both are document number zero, and one is version one and one is the version as the other, but I can live with other approaches as well.
Okay.
Just that we should make sure that we get a number on the other document as well, and otherwise we have an unnumbered document in the archive and that confuses people.
Well, yeah, we just class them as obsolete and minimize the changes because...
Yeah. Oh yeah, we don't go back to the document to edit the number in. Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I think we have a way forward on that.
So just make sure the chair duty and selection procedure, they'll be marked obsolete.
Yep.
And then we gave the operational procedure the number R00 and then version 1. Is that the agreement?
Is my understanding?
We've had two versions of the operational procedures, or was the first one just the first one?
Yeah. The first one. Yeah. We've
and
only had one that's
has obsolete. It's just going to be in the obsolete.
No, the one that we're marking obsolete, I don't consider it a procedures document. It's only referencing the chair. We had to write something down to elect the chair.
Yeah.
It's to me it's pre-procedures and to me not really worthy of a number. Because we didn't have the procedures at that time. It was a bootstrap document.
Can I make a suggestion? So because we're like designing by committee right now, so that staff like Mario, Steve, if you capture this as in the minutes and then we send it to the list and then we can think about it and then do that.
Okay.
Maybe next time, because I don't think that another 2 weeks will hurt anyone.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, thank you. So we'll close out item number 6 on the agenda and item number 7, any other business? I had one thing that I thought of recently that I'd like to bring up, which is per the procedures, we all need to do our disclosures of interest statements. So I've asked Mario and Steve to help us remind us and sort of stay on top of that and make sure that we get those done sometime soon. That's my only any other business item. Does anyone else have something to bring up?
Yeah. I do have a question for you. We can feel free to reuse our other statements.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yes.
I would think so. There's you may want to, you know, not just cut and paste. You may want to because I think go to our procedures and make sure that what you write matches what you're expected to submit per RZERC, because I think we omitted something about conflict, or not conflict. We omitted one standard item that was in some of the other statements of interest requirements. Because we're all appointed by other organizations.
Yes.
So just give it a double check.
Yeah. So maybe Steve Mario could point us to the proper paragraph that we need to read.
Yeah.
Make sure we're in alignment with,
Okay, that takes us to the end, and Is anyone here not planning to come to the public meeting on Wednesday, the open meeting?
What time is it?
It's 2 p.m.
2 p.m. on Wednesday.
It conflicts with the end of the DNSSEC
right.
workshop, which
right.
I'm...
You're closing?
Yeah. Closing, so okay. I probably won't
okay.
make it.
Conflicts with the RSEC open meeting also.
That's the spot. We'll see who gets more attendees.
You know, we might.
Really poor. Yeah, we combine them.
Yeah.
Because we don't need like.
Well.
I'm gonna raise his eyebrow.
No, I'm seeing the meeting stuff bludgeoning us in the head.
Yeah. Oh, really?
The calendar's locked in like a month in advance.
It just seems like you got the same audience. But.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No. All apologies. We should have flagged this earlier.
There's so much overlap now.
Yeah.
RZERC, RSEC, and SEC. And from a planning perspective, we need to make sure that the public meetings...
Yeah, we're going to overlay all those meetings.
Well, next time you can have a joint meeting, I think that's a really good idea. I mean, I think we don't need the whole... Neither group probably needs the whole
neither group
time.
Needs the 90 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. Okay.
Well, let's
manage for this time, but...
So let's wrap up this. Let's adjourn this meeting, and then we can...
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
You weren't here. I set the picture around.